Bom dia, boa tarde. Welcome to another episode of the PortugueseSoccer.com podcast. I'm your guest host, John Neves, back here again to talk about my favorite subject, your favorite subject, and that is, of course, Portuguese soccer, Portuguese football, whatever word you use in your part of the world. Episode 214. Busy week as always. We had three teams playing in Europe. Unfortunately, only one is left. A big result by Benfica in Scotland, but disappointment when it comes to, of course, Futebol Clube do Porto and Sporting. I'll talk about that in a few minutes. Roberto Martinez, the day I drop this episode, will be announcing his squad selections for the two Euro warm-ups, the friendlies, coming up in about a week or so against, they're going to be playing Sweden in Guimarães, and then they're going to be making the trip to Slovenia to play a match over there, and that'll be their final warm-up before they meet up again for final camp in June. We'll talk about basically who I think may get called among the new faces. I've only got one choice that I think I'm going to throw at you. We'll do first and second division report, women's football report. Women's football is going to be changing their scheduling system next year. I think I found it very interesting. I'll talk to you about that in a minute. And then we'll usually do the Big Four report, and then we'll end it, of course, with my favorite club in Portugal, who's looking pretty good. Another positive result, and one of their rivals lost. And I'll talk about that coming up here in a few minutes. And as always, if you want to send me an email, criticize me, compliment me, tell the world about an opinion that you have on any topic in Portuguese football, please email me at peacesoccer@gmail.com. But let me start off first with European competition and a great result for Benfica. Earlier this week, Roger Schmidt didn't have the greatest things to say about his strikers. They have been underperforming with all the money that has been spent. But the one player that has been performing this year and has really kept Benfica alive, he may be leaving soon on a free, which makes you wonder, will Benfica change their mind and keep him in light of the fact that he seems to be the most productive player? And that is, of course, Rafa. Rafa scoring the big goal that enables Benfica to advance. And for the second straight year, Benfica will be playing in the quarterfinals of a European competition. Last year, it was in the Champions League. This year, will be in Europa. And these are very, very big results for Benfica, whose league of form, and obviously what we saw with the Champions League in the fall, wasn't necessarily the greatest. Credit to Benfica for still being alive in this competition. Porto played a very strong match against Arsenal, went toe-to-toe with them. But at the end of the day, they fell in penalty kicks. We saw Conceição getting very frustrated at the end of the match with the Arsenal manager. And It was frustrating to see. But again, it goes back to what I said last week. You know, you can't go into these competitions and only leave the first leg at home winning by one goal. I mean, if you're a Portuguese club and you're playing against all these other big clubs with bigger resources, you got to win by multiple goals. And if Porto had lost in regulation 1-0, but they scored two goals in Porto, they would have advanced 2-1. It's that simple, really. But that didn't happen. And then Sporting does score a goal away in Italy, and you thought maybe they have an opportunity here, but then Pote gets hurt, and they wind up giving up two goals, and they wind up being eliminated. So Portugal's best team, in my opinion, Sporting, in first place with a match in hand, plays the sixth best team in the Serie A, and we're eliminated by them. So it's a very disappointing result. And, you know, I have this segment, which I'm going to include here, where I talk about what was going on in Portuguese football last year at this time, the middle of March. Last year at this time, Benfica had gotten past Club Brugge, and they had advanced to play in the quarterfinals of the Champions League. Porto at this time was getting ready to play Inter. They lost the first leg in Italy 1-0, but they was wide open to come back to the Dragon for the second leg. And all the talk last year was, could we possibly have two Portuguese teams playing in the quarterfinals of the Champions League? Well, obviously we know Porto didn't win. That did not happen. That was the big story last year at this time, where we had a possibility of two teams in the Champions League quarterfinals. Now, a year later, nothing has really changed. It's the same team alive in European competition. Benfica, Porto, and of course Sporting were both eliminated. And that's the difference between last year and this year. And one last thing, by the way, regarding what was going on last year at this time, was also right around this time that Nuno Santos scored his tremendous goal that enabled him to be up for the Puskas Award coming up later this year. So disappointing, I think, to see only one team left. I think we really could have had at least two. But again, we're wishing Benfica the best of luck because whatever they do in Europe will only help our coefficient. The day I dropped this episode, Roberto Martinez will announce his squad selections for Sweden and Slovenia. I don't really expect a lot of changes. I think everything is going to stay the same in terms of all the veterans that he usually calls up. I think if there's a chance of having a new face, well, it's not going to be Pote because he hurt himself. It's not going to be Nuno Santos. I think he's been tailing off a little bit lately. Bruma did have an injury. He's back, but I don't see him getting called up. Chico Conceição has also been mentioned, but I don't see him getting called up. Good young player, but not, I don't think, in my opinion, Seleção material just yet. Could be. I think if there's anyone that has a shot at being called up, could be Guimarães' Jota Silva. He has been doing a great job keeping them in fifth place, and they are playing also in Guimarães. I could see the connection there. In my opinion, I think that that's what I would probably see, is if there is anyone that's going to be called up, surprise, in my opinion, it'll probably be Jota Silva. I said last week and that I would do this every week leading up to the Euro. My prediction for the starting 11 in our first match in Euro. And obviously it could change if a player's injured. It could change if a player's losing his form and someone's playing better. But my prediction, same one as last week, continues to be the starters. Rafael Leão, Cristiano Ronaldo, and Bernardo Silva. Nuno Mendes, Bruno Fernandes, João Palhinha, and João Cancelo. Gonçalo Inácio, Ruben Dias, and Antonio Silva. And then, of course, our usual goalkeeper, Costa. That is who I predict. First off, these obviously are all going to be called up. But in my opinion, this is who I predict will be in the starting 11 this summer. By the way, last year at this time, going back to the time capsule, Gonçalo Inácio got his first call-up, if I recall, by Roberto Martinez. So I think if there's a player that Roberto Martinez likes a lot, it's Gonçalo Inácio. So that is, in my opinion, what's going to be happening Friday morning when, or Friday afternoon, I should say, Portugal time, when Roberto Martinez makes his squad selections. Moving on to the first division, the Liga Betclic report. The Liga continues to be led in first place by Sporting, even with a match in hand that they still have to play against Familia Cone in first place with 62, Benfica in second with 61. Porto still in the hump, sitting in third place with 55 points, and fourth place Braga in fourth place again, sitting with 50 points. And Vitória Guimarães continue to have one of their best seasons in 30 years. They sit in fifth place with 47 points. And let me give a shout out to Moreirense and Arouca. Moreirense is sixth place with 39 points, and Arouca, fantastic job by their young manager, Daniel Souza, sitting in seventh place with 34 points. Obviously, we know at the bottom, it looks like Vizela and Chaves are sitting at the bottom in the relegation zone and in a lot of trouble. Vizela's got to go play Porto this week, so this does not get any easier for them. But let's get going and talk about match day 26. Gets going on Friday with Estoril Praia, Portimonense. We've got four matches on Saturday. The two that stick out, Braga at home to Gil Vicente. Anytime these two new teams get together, it is a great match. You've got Porto at home to Vizela. If you're going to come home and play a team that's struggling, Vizela would be the team that you would want to play. So Porto gets them this weekend. And then on Sunday, you've got four matches as well, and no matches on Monday because international break is coming up. You've got Sporting at home to Boa Vista, and you've got Casapia. This would have been a better match last season, not so much this season, but Casapia is on Sunday playing at home to Benfica. If you were to ask me, in my opinion, what is the two best matches this weekend, I really like Sporting against Boa Vista. Boa Vista has been a bit of a disappointment, but every second or third week they pull off a big surprise despite all their problems. I think Sporting should win this match, but it does intrigue me a little bit. I don't really have much to say about Casapia Benfica, only because I just don't think Casapia is as good as they were last year. Braga-Gil Vicente, I say, was your other good match. Fourth place, taking on the eighth place team. And, of course, Gil Vicente having a very good year, tranquil year, meaning that they don't have to worry about relegation and that they will be coming back next year. But Sporting continues to lead the way again Sporting continues to lead the way in first place with 62 points and one less match played. The second division report, it's almost close to being decided in terms of the two teams that are going to be promoted. First place, you got Santa Clara with 56 points. Second place, you got AVS with 55. And then the third place team in the playoff, Nacional, is all the way back 7 points behind with 48 points. So Santa Clara essentially has an 8-point lead over the third place team, and AVS has a 7-point lead over the third place team. So I think Santa Clara and AVS are in good shape, and barring a catastrophic decline, they are in good shape to be promoted next year. Then the battle is between the two teams from the island of Madeira, Nacional and Marítimo. Nacional in third with 48 points, Marítimo in fourth with 45, and they are pretty much going to be battling for that playoff spot because third place in the second division will be playing the 16th place in the first division. And if it were to end today, the Liga, that would mean Nacional will be playing Estoril Praia for the playoff for the first division next year. Everything gets going on Friday with Turians at home to Tundela. We got four matches on Saturday. Benfial Benfica B is a good one. Marítimo at home to Leiria. Marítimo cannot afford to drop any more points, sitting in fourth place. And then second division leader, Santa Clara. A great battle. This is by far the best match this weekend in the second division. And that is, you got, of course, first place Santa Clara taking on third place Nacional. Santa Clara wins that match, and they would pretty much, in my opinion at least, be only a few matches away from clinching promotion back to the first division after being relegated last season, in my opinion. Women's football, we have, first off, let me just say there was a big announcement this week in women's football, and that is that next year, not this season, but next season, the bottom three teams will be relegated. So essentially, the women's football in Portugal is going toward only having 10 teams in the first division and not 12. Right now, with 12, you're able to do 22 match days. You bring it down to 10. That means you're only doing 18 match days. I've got to read a little bit further into it, but it looks like they might have teams playing more than two times against each other. It's a good idea because the talent level in Portugal is still not as rich. And I think if you put the best players into the top 10 teams in the first division, that might be better instead of spreading them out in 12 teams. I think we know this is a top-heavy league. You look at it, Benfica 43 points, Sporting 36. And then your third place team only has 29 points, and that's Braga and Racing Power FC with 29 points. So women's football continues to be dominated by Benfica and Sporting. Racing Power FC and Braga are decent competitors, but they are nowhere near as good to be competing with the top two. So women's football is essentially going to be diminished in a few years to just 10 teams in the first division. And by the way, this is a big season also because only the top two teams next year from Portugal will play in the Champions League. That's an increase of plus one from last year. And that's a very good news for Portugal. So that's interesting news. This weekend, Benfica will be on action on Friday. They'll be taking on Damiens, the sixth place team. So that's a pretty tough match and a trip for Benfica. Braga will be at home to Família Cong. Sporting will be playing on Saturday against Clube da Albergaria. And then the other team here that is still strong in fifth place, Marítimo, they'll be at home to Atlético Oriente. And that's it. Benfica and Sporting, I think they're running away with women's football. I think Braga right now, unless they can somehow manage to make up 7 points, they are not going to have any shot at playing in the Women's Champions League coming up this year, in my opinion. Moving on, big news this week. The Liga announced that the League Cup Final Four is returning to Leiria again in 2025. There had been a lot of talk. I've talked about this extensively on this podcast that basically they were thinking about bringing the Final Four abroad to help expose more people to Portuguese football. There was some talk about the Middle East and some money there. There was talk in the future about going to different parts of Europe and maybe even one day North America. But what this tells me is the fact that next year they're coming back to Leiria. This tells me that maybe they didn't have a great opportunity as much as they once thought to make a very good financial opportunity of this in the Middle East. And they probably are not ready to go to other places in Europe. I'll tell you one way they would solve this problem. You know, why don't you make the League Cup semifinal and Final Four available to a lot of people outside of Portugal based on some of my ideas? Because right now, unless you're in Portugal, and obviously they show the channels in Portugal, and I want to say this honestly, I'm not going to get into how, any other way, but the reality of the matter is that the League Cup it's not necessarily a big competition in Portugal, though I think it's getting bigger. But when you can't watch those games outside of Portugal, how would you expect anyone outside of Portugal to care? Again, I think they need to put these games, smack a logo on YouTube. And I'm only a big YouTube guy because everybody has the app on their phone. And that's a great way to expose your product. But they've decided to delay it at least for a year. And as a result, the League Cup next year is going back to Leiria. If you remember, a few months ago, Braga fans were upset that they were taking the competition out of the country. They even, I think, boycotted a League Cup match. Obviously, that didn't have an effect on this, but I think this shows that the League Cup might have more passion in Portugal than outside of it. And again, when you don't show it on television outside or you make it difficult, no, you shouldn't be surprised that nobody cares. But we'll see what the direction of this is. But next year, the League Cup will be again in Portugal. Congratulations, my international player report. Jorge Jesus wins his 28th consecutive match. Incredible, incredible. I'm a big fan of JJ. I think he's a lot better than some of you give him credit for. I know a lot of people got tired of him in Portugal, but look, the Saudi League has a lot of talent, as we know, a lot of talent there with all the foreign players they've brought in. And I think maybe you're the Asian competition outside of Saudi Arabia isn't that great. But 28 consecutive wins is a pretty incredible thing. And again, I speak to JJ. But I do want to make one prediction about Jorge Jesus. JJ has said he's in one of the best leagues in the world. He's making fantastic money. But I'm going to throw out this for a little bit of fun. If Andres Villas-Boas wins, if Pinto da Costa wins re-election and Sergio Conceição decides to leave and go for an opportunity in Spain, which is where I think he's going to go next because his contract will be up soon, I'd be very curious to see if JJ will be tempted to come back to Portugal. He's never managed Porto. He wants to manage all the big clubs in Portugal. From what I've read, he's very good friends with Pinto da Costa. I can see Pinto da Costa making a call saying, I need you, please come back. You'll always have an opportunity to go abroad again. Keep this thought in the back of your mind. I could kind of see that as a possibility, but let me just have some fun because after all, this is my podcast. I just want to put out my opinions out there. But the other day, I was listening to a JJ interview, and I kind of felt like that could be a possibility if Pinto da Costa picks up the phone and Sergio Conceição leaves. So we'll see. Let's go through the Big Four report. By the way, again, if you want to send me any comments, agree, don't disagree with what I say, or you want to tell the world about your comments, psoccercom@gmail.com, psoccercom@gmail.com. You can also follow PortugueseSoccer.com on Twitter, on PSoccerCom, same thing on Facebook. And then, of course, our partners on Instagram and Threads, Portuguese_soccer_noticias is also another way to follow. I don't put, by the way, all the content on all the social media, but if you follow all the social media, you'll be in the best position to be day-to-day caught up on everything that is all is Portuguese soccer, Portuguese football. Let me start off first with my Big Four report. Some surprising comments this week with Roger Schmidt. He is not happy with his strikers. Where would Benfica be without Rafa, like I spoke about? But it continues to say that they continue to miss Gonçalo Ramos more and more. It's such a player they haven't been able to replace from last year. Other players, Fredrik Ørsnes has retired with the Norwegian team. He wants to concentrate more on his club career, especially now with Benfica. And that seems to be the big thing. Di Maria had a great match against the Rangers. But again, he seems to be headed at some point next year going back to his native Argentina. Sporting, there was a story. I don't know the facts yet when I'm recording this. And I'm not entirely sure if this story is true or not, but Goycalves, and again, this is solely going off of what I know. This could change in the next few days, but there has been some stories out there Give me 1 second so I can find the story on Twitter, X, whatever they call it. But apparently, there was a heated discussion between Goya Koresh and Diamond during the match. Your two most valuable players possibly having a bad moment is not something if you're Ruben Amorim wants to see. But again, I'll talk about that more next week if, in fact, there's any truth to them that they might have had. I think it was just a positional falling out on the pitch. I don't think it's anything more than that, in my opinion. But Sporting, the best team in Portugal, in my opinion. They got the bad luck of playing Atalanta, who they didn't do very well in the group stage. But Sporting right now is in great shape to win. The biggest question is how much are they going to sell this summer? Is Goya Koresh going to be sold? I think he is. Is he going to be sold for 100 million? I don't think so. Moving on to Porto, great performance this week. The biggest question is Pepe. Is he going to retire? He said that his body is not 20 or 30 years anymore and that he wants to go out on a high. I definitely see him still playing for Portugal and then probably after this Euro. Calling his retirement in. But got to give a lot of credit to Pepe for to come back to Portugal and to still be the player that he is for this club is just amazing. Porto under 19 advanced in the UEFA Youth League. They are now in the semifinals. It seems like us Portuguese always have one or two Portuguese clubs playing in the semifinals, at least of the UEFA Youth League, and now this year's turn is going to be Porto. Braga's been in the news this week. The biggest thing is they've been linked with Daniel Sousa. Daniel Sousa, of course, did a great job last year with Gil Vicente, helped him avoid relegation. They went something like 3 months without losing at home last year with Daniel Sousa. They were brilliant with him. He leaves, then he gets a job opportunity with Arouca, who, as you know, has been a major disappointment this year, but now he has him all the way up to eighth place. Well, Braga, because apparently Artur Jorge might be leaving the club, seeking his next best opportunity next season. I mean, he's done a great job with fourth place Braga. He got them to qualify for the Champions League, and it's time right now to possibly cash out and go to a bigger opportunity abroad. But he's been rumored, Daniel Sousa has been rumored as a possible replacement for Artur Jorge at Braga. Is that a good move for Daniel Sousa? I think it is. I don't know yet. I know he's a former Andres Villas-Boas assistant. If Andres Villas-Boas wins the election, is he in a good position? We love our young managers just like we love our young players. The only problem is I just don't see, in my opinion, Villas-Boas doing that because if Villas-Boas does pick him and then he winds up getting a bad start and it turns out to be a disaster, that's probably not the start you want if you're Villas-Boas. But we'll see. There's still a lot of time. Daniel Sousa, though, is being linked with Braga, and I think that that's a very, very big move for the young kid if he were to make that move. So we shall see. This is going to be a short podcast. Unfortunately, I've got to do a lot of traveling this week. But let me end this podcast like I always do, and I'm not going to have time for the mailbag. And I know a lot of you love this part of the episode. I've had so many comments, so many people telling me that they're from Minho. But I'm very happy to say that my club might be on the verge of being promoted to the fourth tier. This weekend, they played the third-place team, Guardiolens. They played to a nil-nil draw. But the good news is that second-place Monção, for the second straight week, lost. And as of right now, we have a 9-point lead on Corniolens, and we have a 12-point lead on Mussong. But Mussong has played one less match. They still got to play a match against Melgacense because that match was canceled because of poor pitch conditions. So right now, we have a 9-point lead with about 5 or 6 match days left. And this is the best, we've been to the playoffs twice and we've lost because goal differential doesn't play a factor. And it's been a few years stuck here in the districts, and we might be moving up to the fourth tier. We got a big match this weekend playing the fourth place team, so it doesn't get any easier for us. We're playing the fourth place team, Valenciano. But if we win, or Cardiolense loses this weekend, Cardiolense is going to be playing, well, they're actually playing the 11th place team, so I don't see them losing. And Monção is going to be playing Ancora Praia, another team that's toward the bottom. So we have the toughest match this weekend. But we have a 9-point lead. We have, I'm going to take a guess. I mean, what do we have, 16 teams? We have really only about 5 match days left, so we're talking about 15 points. So we really need 6 points earned or dropped by any of the second or third place teams to get us promoted to the fourth tier. And there will be major celebrations in Arcos, the Valvillage, in the Lapa, by the water fountain. They're going to go throughout the whole town, and they're going to party big time, because this city feels that this club is more of a third or fourth tier club, not a district. And I think that would be very, very big news. So I got to say, this weekend when I was following the results, I was a pretty happy person to see that they are getting close. Anyway, apologies again for a short podcast. If you want to support this podcast, please give it a follow. Spotify, Google Podcasts, Podcastatic, iTunes. I also put up the audio on YouTube for those that want to listen to it there. And again, if you want to say thank you for what I do, because I certainly appreciate what you do for me, giving me 15, 20, 35, 40 minutes a week to listen to what I have to say. I really appreciate it. But please do give it a follow. That is the best way to support the PortugueseSoccer.com podcast. Anyway, folks, again, a short one this week, just so terribly busy. But again, I wanted to come on and talk. And again, that wraps up episode 214. As always, please take care of yourselves. Please take care of your families. And I'll talk to you next week, everybody. Ciao.